WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. Former FBI Director James Comey's posted a response to Instagram after he was indicted on federal charges of making a false statement and obstructing a congressional proceeding.
I'm innocent, so let's have a trial and keep the faith.
President Trump's announced a brand new round of tariffs on imports. CBS's Jesse Mitchell.
The president is slapping the largest tariff, 100%, on pharmaceuticals, unless a company is in the process of building a manufacturing facility in the U.S., while the others range from 25 to 50%.
They include upholstered furniture and heavy trucks. We're learning more about the 29-year-old suspect who officials say shot and killed himself after Wednesday's deadly shooting at an ICE field office in Dallas. Special Agent in Charge Joe Rothrock.
Based on our investigation to date, we believe Yon acted alone. But I'll stress our investigation continues.
Officials say the suspect left behind notes calling out the agency. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for Matinair and Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. As it turns out, getting suspended was great for business. Jimmy Kimmel Live experienced its highest ratings in the history of the show this past Tuesday night. Disney and ABC suspended Kimmel due to pressure from the Nexstar and Sinclair broadcasting companies, as well as the FCC. Kimmel draws 1.4 million viewers per night on average, but last Tuesday drew 6.3 million for an increase of 343%. And that is taking into account the fact that the aforementioned companies blacked him out in almost a quarter of the markets. Kimmel's suspension has seemed to have brought out support from people who don't typically get political, like morning hosts Kelly Ripa and husband Mark Consuelos, who make a point of keeping it lighthearted on their morning show. They went to bat for Kimmel, calling him a caring, decent human being, and added that the First Amendment must be protected. So there you go. When even the most milquetoasty, annoying couple is getting political, you know boundaries have been crossed. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Pack prepares for Dallas.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Packers and the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football. Green Bay's Tucker Kraft says he's doing better after suffering a knee injury last week in practice. The tight end says, give me the ball.
I'm going to run each route on the field like I'm going to catch the football, and I'm going to block each play like I'm at the point of attack. You know, I believe that I offer a different kind of consistent explosiveness whenever I get the ball in my hands. So that's always just, you know, my argument is what happens when 85 touches the football. You breaking tackles, is he getting in the end zone? That's just my brand.
Baseball tonight at AmFam Field as the Brewers wind down the regular season against the Cincinnati Reds. The magic number for the crew, down to one, owner Mark Antanasio.
You know, we keep knocking on the door here, and I think getting a bye is really helpful because we get just a little healthier. Look, we'll see starting October 4th, right?
That's the Brewers' Mark Antanasio with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
We don't always agree politically, but Bill McCosh.
Thanks for having me. You want to talk Brewers first?
It's been a really special season, and it's not whether you're wearing red or blue hats. It's yellow and blue.
How do you come together in politics? This is one of the ways.
Yeah.
Find some common ground and then expand on that. And right. Then you got to listen to the other side.
Our neighbors are not our enemies. If we can disagree politically but still find ways to bring our community together.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Fresh off her announcement that she's running for governor, we have State Representative Francesca Hong. Hear what she has to say.
Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The WAUK Text to Win contest, sponsored by Horizons Law Group, where they educate, collaborate, mediate, or litigate to serve you best. HorizonsLaw.com.
Partly cloudy today with a high in the upper 60s to low 70s this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear. Could see a little fog overnight. Our low in the 50s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the 70s to near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Outside now, it's 55. where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, time for a little recombobulation with Civic Media's political editor Dan Schaefer joins us. I hope you will too.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Boy, another beautiful weekend on the way around Wisconsin. Come on in, everybody. It's a fantastic Friday, and I am the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Pleased to report to you that it looks like it's going to be a sunny, dry weekend, no matter where you are. Today, sunshine, 79 degrees, a little bit of a breeze. Tomorrow morning, you might start off with a little fog before 8 a.m., but otherwise, sunshine and 83. Sunday, sunshine, 79 degrees. Even Monday looks very good. Should be a sunny day, and daytime highs on Monday, right around 83 degrees. The cattle have started to arrive for World Dairy Expo. Myself, Kylie Allen, we were out at the Alliant Energy Expo grounds watching them roll in and also learning a little bit more about the testing that goes on before those animals are allowed to be a part of the show. You'll hear that story as we roll our way through a Friday. Also, if you're going to be doing some driving around Wisconsin, how are the fall colors going to be impacted by the dry weather that we've seen? Are we going to enjoy any pops even in the Northwoods? Kylie Allen's got a little bit of an update on that situation for us. And we travel to northern Wisconsin for a sesquicentennial farm story. Polk County, our goal this morning, to tell you what it takes to be a part of farming in Wisconsin for more than 150 years. Just around the corner, we start with a challenge Wisconsin farmers are facing going into new calendar year 2026. They haven't even harvested this crop, but they're already thinking about the expense of next year's crop. And when it comes to fertilizer, ooh, that bill's getting big. Ben Jarbo's got that story next.
Next on our Corn Hall of Fame tour, Pioneer brand PowerCore and List Corn.
Ooh, look at all the trophies.
Yes. PowerCore and List beats competitors with a 7.7 bushel per acre yield advantage. Three distinct modes of pest control action and unsurpassed herbicide flexibility mean above ground pests and weeds can't win.
But what if they try?
They wouldn't dare.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/powerup.
We are counting down the days to the road to Madison. World Dairy Expo, September 30th through October 3rd. Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin has a new presence at the show this year to celebrate Wisconsin dairy. Board member Kays Wald, representing Dunn and St. Croix counties, says DFW's new location on site will add to the networking and connectedness at the show that helps shape the future of dairy worldwide.
This year, the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin container has a brand new location just outside the Tan Bark, right near the Badger Dairy Club grilled cheese stand. Those are so yummy. We invite all producers and attendees to stop by and say hello and learn more about how DFW is working to support our farmers and promote Wisconsin dairy. It's a great spot to connect, have conversations, and share ideas about where our industry is headed.
Kays Wald from the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin Board. She hopes to see you at the DFW container during World Dairy Expo, September 30th through October 3rd. Visit WisconsinDairy.org.
Dairy producers across the nation, start your engines. The road to Madison leads straight to the World Dairy Expo 2025, where innovation, education, and global dairy connections await. Join fellow dairy producers, industry experts, future leaders, and the finest dairy cattle in North America when the dairy industry meets in Madison, Wisconsin, September 13th through October 3rd. Make the drive and be part of the dairy event of the year. World Dairy Expo 2025, the road to Madison starts with you. Map your trip today at worlddairyexpo.com.
Recently, U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, along with Senators Chuck Grassley and Joni Ernst from Iowa, introduced a bipartisan legislation to help lower the cost of fertilizer by allowing more transparency for the farmers on market factors causing rising costs. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo, and this bill is being endorsed by many groups, including the Wisconsin Corn Growers Association. Here to give more insight on the need for this bill is WCGA member Shane Goplin, who is also a farmer with HV Acres LLC. He says the government needs to do more to help answer the whys for farmers.
You know, so without having transparency in the fertilizer market, we really don't know trends. From a farmer's perspective, you know, on my end, we see that, it seems like if the grain prices go up, well, the fertilizer prices go up. Why? We don't know. It's just, you know, kind of what we've gotten used to. But now we're, you know, next year we're seeing fertilizer costs going up even more without the, you know, the price of grain. From 24 to 25, our fertilizer prices on the DAP and the potash, you know, they were up, or the DAP was up about 9%, and our potash was down about 9%. But now as we're entering into the 26 growing season and looking at putting down some fall fertilizer, right now, the bids that I've got for fall applied, the DAP, we're looking at a 23% increase, and the potash is up about 13%, with, you know, December 26 grain is only up about 9%. So the farmers are in a tough place right now as far as break-even costs. We're well below break-even costs on our cost of production, you know, and so as a producer, I'm looking at all of the above approach of what can I do to make our farm, you know, more efficient, you know, to try and make a profit. But we're asking, a little help from the government as well for them to take an all of the above approach to, to help answer the whys. Why are fertilizer prices high? You know, and going forward, you know, we can see trend line prices on the grain side, and the USDA uses like the WASDA report to, you know, give the market a better opportunity to understand, you know, some of the yields and some of the uses, whether it's domestic use or exports, or what that's going to be for the upcoming year. Well, you know, as a producer, I'd like to have a little bit more vision of what the vision is for fertilizer prices and availability for the years to come as well, so we can have a better plan of, you know, just to know our cost of production without knowing the cost of fertilizer being 36% of our inputs for growing a crop of corn. You know, that's a major expense, and, you know, without knowing that price much ahead of time, it's really hard to be able to try and lock in a profit.
Yeah, and when we are looking at hopefully getting lower fertilizer costs here, where are we expecting to be able to find this fertilizer, this potash and things? Because right now, obviously, some of those markets are a little bit closed off to our farmers in the U.S. right now. But where are we looking to be able to find this, I guess, quote-unquote, cheaper fertilizer once hopefully this bill passes?
That's a good question to know, you know, whether it's, Canada, Russia's always been a major player as far as potash. Where are we going to be able to find it? It's just, you know, that remains to be unseen, you know, of, you know, what markets are, you know, are available to us and what we can find at, you know, at a decent cost.
Yeah, well, is there anything else on this proposed bill or just over fertilizer that you would like to mention here? I mean, as we're getting into harvest season now, but maybe something about fall fertilizer after harvest or anything like that?
Well, and on our farm, we historically do not do a lot of fall applied fertilizer because we are involved with a dairy that we get, manure on our farm. But, you know, I can calculate the number of tons of commercial fertilizer I need, but I cannot know exactly for sure what, how many gallons of manure that are going to be applied. So I really don't want to fall apply, you know, fertilizer on our farm where we could potentially get manure on, you know, and vice versa. So it's a little tough, but, to know, but, and that's, you know, talking with a couple of local co-ops of prices on fertilizer. The prices I gave as far as increase, that's for fall, but they're anticipating that it could possibly be, more yet in the spring. So, it's really the fear of the unknown, but it basically, and then it also comes down to me as, what are we showing our next generation? What are we, if we're continuing to struggle at the farm gate level of cost of production and the stress of trying to turn a profit, what are we doing to try and attract the next generation to, secure them a sound future in production agriculture so we can get the next generation to come in and take over the farm?
Yeah, and one last question here. When we do look at that bill, what is the reasoning behind the Wisconsin Corn Association backing that bill and being a sponsor for it, quote unquote?
Yeah, I'd like to say that we're just looking for a little more transparency. We've been looking at the fertilizer market has been, we've been wanting answers, I'd say, for a number of years. But, it's whether, we'd just like to get answers of market trends over the last, how many years. And, is there an option that we can have of new and developing fertilizers that we could possibly use rather than rely on imports? Whether current public pricing reporting is sufficient for market transparency, we're just transparency, and help us understand the whys.
Wisconsin Corn Growers Association member Shane Goplin believes the importance of this bill goes deeper than just answering the questions like why are fertilizer prices rising when crop prices keep dropping, or why is supply tight in the fertilizer industry. He thinks this bill is important for the future of agriculture in the U.S. He feels that they need to be able to show the future generations that it is possible to still farm and make money, and that the transparency provided by this Fertilizer Research Act is the first step in doing that. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarboe.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Step right up. Circus history is alive in Wisconsin.
The circus would come to town and whole cities would shut down. There wouldn't be school, the stores would be closed because everybody would go to the circus.
A big part of the circus, the wagons, and now what's believed to be the last bell wagon anywhere is at Circus World in Baraboo. Commissioned by the Ringlings in 1892, this 10,000-pound rolling musical instrument was the crown jewel of the circus parades.
Those parade wagons, circus parades would happen to get people excited to come see the circus, and so those are the very ornamented ones, lots of carving.
That's Jennifer Kronk. She's the curator of history at Circus World. Three other unique wagons owned by Feld Entertainment in Florida are also on loan for the next couple of years. It's a slice of Wisconsin and circus history right here, where you can relive the glory of the parade and echo of the bells calling you to the big top. I'm Terry Barr.
Matt and Air on Air.
The borders are. Tom Homan was investigated for accepting $50,000 from undercover FBI agents.
50 grand in a fast food bag as a payoff. If Kamala Harris would have accepted a fast food bag full of fast food, it would have been congressional hearings, yes. 24 hours on every network that hated them.
It's corruption palooza, man. Yeah.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Does this rash look concerning? It's good to be married to a doctor who said, "What's that thing? Let's go see a doctor now."
Look, I know that Pat married for love, but it's like my grandpa used to tell me, marry him for the money because you can fall in love with him later. I don't care so much about the money. How cool would it be to have my own doctor in bed with me every day to do self-examination? See, that's all I'm looking for.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Teach Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, it's a bar band Friday night, which means Terry Barr joins me with new music and fun conversation. And we'll have a special guest, fast review of the new film, One Battle After Another.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
I don't know about 4 days of this, but hey, yeah, we'll get by.
Yeah, so give me a little bit of an update on what you see developing.
Not a whole lot. I think the biggest thing we're going to talk about is some fog, and there could be some fog almost anywhere statewide, late tonight, early tomorrow, maybe into Sunday morning, too. Just a very pleasant late September pattern. There's a very weak cool front that's going to drop through Wisconsin, giving us a bit of a wind shift today. That front's already through in the far north. It pushes all the way south by late today. I don't expect precipitation, but we'll see a wind shift. Watch for those winds to become northwest or even northerly for a time. Not really strong, just that little bit of a change, and it's not going to have a real big effect because I expect those temperatures warm up behind all of it. In fact, we look for temps to be way above normal tomorrow, oh, something like 10 to maybe 15 degrees above normal. A very, very mild way to start the weekend, staying warm for Sunday, plenty of sunshine around. Great drying weather now at this time of the year. It is going to be a pretty good benefit for us. We stay sunny and dry and mild with above normal temperatures. Looks like all the way through next week, World Dairy Expo falling into the fantastic plan as far as weather is concerned, where those temps are going to be above normal. I don't expect a major rainstorm to dampen the event. Nothing else like that. Just a really great weather pattern is going to be in store and statewide. No major changes to talk about. I mean, the big ruffle is that little bit of fog chance late tonight, early tomorrow. Could be around early Sunday again. And otherwise, a very pleasant pattern is going to be in store. I'll be back with our forecast details after this.
Okay, it's time for our fan field goal kick of the game. Hey, he's wearing a Pioneer brand PowerCore Enlist Corn t-shirt. Of course, Pioneer brand PowerCore Enlist Corn beats the competition's yields by 7.7 bushels an acre. All right, here's the kick. It's good! Not bad for a guy in work boots.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/powerup.
Dairy producers across the nation, start your engines. The road to Madison leads straight to the World Dairy Expo 2025, where innovation, education, and global dairy connections await. Join fellow dairy producers, industry experts, future leaders, and the finest dairy cattle in North America when the dairy industry meets in Madison, Wisconsin, September 13th through October 3rd. Make the drive and be part of the dairy event of the year. World Dairy Expo 2025, the road to Madison starts with you. Map your trip today at worlddairyexpo.com.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
All right, buddy, let's have the good news on that weekend weather forecast.
Well, why not? Let's talk about, though, that it's a Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update, and we do expect a sunny sky today. We may just hold in the very upper 60s in the far northwest part of the state. Otherwise, I'd expect mid and upper 70s statewide. Southwest winds becoming northwest, only about 5. A little cloudiness, some partly cloudy skies overnight, and there could be some fog before daybreak. We drop into the low and mid-50s. The northwest winds that start us off become south late. They'll be pretty light. Morning fog and another sunny day Saturday. And here's where we warm up. Low 70s north, low 80s south. Very mild air. South winds at 5 to 10. Another sunny, great day Sunday in the upper 70s. Low 70s in the north, with winds out of the north about 5. Pam will even look to Monday and Tuesday and say low 80s in southern Wisconsin to start the week. It's summery.
Yeah, Monday is the day when all the commercial exhibitors get in place at World Dairy Expo. Cattle coming in from now until about Saturday morning. And almost everybody that I talked to yesterday that was checking in cattle outside of maybe a blown tire or something of an automotive nature, they made it an easy trip. Weather's been good everywhere.
Yeah, the weather in the north central part of the U.S. is stellar and will be staying that way.
Good deal. All right, buddy, enjoy it. We'll catch up with you on Monday.
You bet. See you then.
Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, with your Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. Compeer Financial, again, providing you financial resources if you're involved in agriculture, want to be involved in agriculture, or just want that little slice of paradise in a rural community. Find out more on how they get you connected online now at compeer.com. We're talking about a 150-year-old farm coming up.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent interview with State Senator Jody Hebbish-Sinkin on the Maggie Dawn Show.
I introduced the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Reauthorization Bill, which we've been working on for months, building community with stakeholders, with organizations around the state and other legislators across the aisle, because it is a program that is singularly popular in Wisconsin. It has a recent statewide poll has it as over 90% favorable, which in these days and times is, I can't think of anything that's comparable to that level of popularity. And unfortunately, it did not get funded in the budget that passed this early July. So it was something that we really wanted to make sure would move forward. And we introduced a bill because the Republican bill that was introduced, while in good faith, has a particular oversight mechanism which would make the program impractical and not be able to serve its function.
What's this obstacle that you spoke of, this oversight mechanism that you believe makes the Republican funding bill of the Knowles Nelson program untenable?
Essentially, the Republican bill that was introduced, again, with good intention, because remember, not one single Republican voted to reauthorize the program during the budget process. So these two Republicans, Representative Kurtz and Senator Teston, introduced a bill to try to also save the program. But what it includes is an oversight mechanism, just a fancy word for how land acquisitions will be reviewed, that would be fundamentally impractical or not workable. It would require certain land acquisitions to go through the entirety of the legislative process, through the Assembly, through the Senate, all its committees and working groups, and ultimately the governor. Sometimes that could take up to a year and a half, 2 years, or get tied up and never happen.
And
that oversight mechanism is what we have worked on in our bill to replace with something that is transparent and accountable. It would be with a Knowles Nelson stewardship board that would include representatives from both parties, from both the Senate, the Assembly, the DNR, the Natural Resources Conservation Organization, the tribes, just a wonderful mix of citizens. That is really what this type of oversight should be all about anyway, something that's open, transparent, that the public can watch carefully.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee, 540 WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Former FBI Director James Comey's posted a response to Instagram after he was indicted on federal charges of making a false statement and obstructing a congressional proceeding.
I'm innocent, so let's have a trial. And keep the faith.
President Trump's announced a brand new round of tariffs on imports. CBS's Jesse Mitchell.
The president is slapping the largest tariff, 100%, on pharmaceuticals, unless a company is in the process of building a manufacturing facility in the U.S., while the others range from 25 to 50%.
They include upholstered furniture and heavy trucks. We're learning more about the 29-year-old suspect who officials say shot and killed himself after Wednesday's deadly shooting at an ICE field office in Dallas. Special Agent in Charge Joe Ross.
Based on our investigation to date, we believe Jan acted alone. But I'll stress our investigation continues.
Officials say the suspect left behind notes calling out the agency. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
The Pack prepares for Dallas. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Packers and the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football. Green Bay's Tucker Kraft says he's doing better after suffering a knee injury last week in practice. The tight end says, give me the ball.
I'm going to run each route on the field like I'm going to catch the football, and I'm going to block each play like I'm at the point of attack. You know, I believe that I offer a different kind of consistent explosiveness whenever I get the ball in my hands. So that's always just, you know, my argument is what happens when 85 touches the football. You breaking tackles? Is he getting in the end zone? That's just my brand.
Baseball tonight at AmFam Field as the Brewers wind down the regular season against the Cincinnati Reds. The magic number for the Crew, down to one, owner Mark Antanasio.
You know, we keep knocking on the door here, and I think getting a bye is really helpful because we get just a little healthier. Look, we'll see starting October 4th, right?
That's the Brewers' Mark Antanasio with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Todd Albaugh.
From the comments of former head coach of Wisconsin, Barry Alvarez, to the Brewers heading into the playoffs, there's a lot going on in Wisconsin sports. We'll discuss it with former Badger and NFL veteran Brady Ewing next time.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
The 540 WAUK Text to Win contest is sponsored by Pickleball Kingdom, just a half mile north of Silver Spring Drive off Pilgrim Road, Menominee Falls.
Partly cloudy today with a high in the upper 60s to low 70s this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear. Could see a little fog overnight, our low in the 50s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the 70s to near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Outside now, it's 55.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent Mornings with Pat Krailo interview with Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Executive Director Sheila Everhart.
You attached as well a proclamation from the governor's office proclaiming that this is going to be Wisconsin agricultural tourism fall season. And essentially, Sheila, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's basically saying, look, there's all the usual places you could go on a weekend road trip around Wisconsin, but consider expanding your horizons and looking for opportunities to engage in agricultural tourism, right?
Yes, we're so proud. September 11th through November 2nd is Wisconsin's agricultural tourism fall season. Agricultural tourism is one of the fastest growing segments in both agriculture and tourism. It's revitalizing our rural economies, preserving farmland, allowing families to keep their farm operational for generations. But besides that, it plays a vital role in reconnecting people with agriculture. Guests want to learn where their food comes from and why stewardship of the land matters and how our farmers are essential for everyday life. So it's going to the apple orchard and getting fresh apple cider. It's going to the pumpkin patches and picking your pumpkins. It's attending a class on a farm, maybe learn to have some heritage cooking classes and maybe making some sourdough bread. It's tasting farm fresh ice cream made on a farm like Sassy Cow Creamery. It's tasting fresh cheese curds at the Phelps Dairy Farm. It's going out and experiencing life on a farm and being disconnected from your tablet. But we also have, Pat, what is really cool is the Wisconsin Maize Challenge. the Wisconsin Agricultural Maize Challenge, because we want you to get out in a cornfield and we want you to get lost, but then find your way out of that cornfield. So we're having a contest. We invite you to visit a family farm, experience a corn maze, use your navigational skills, take a picture of your visit, post it to Facebook or Instagram with the hashtag WATA Maze, W-A-T-A Maze. And then we will have weekly winners of that WATA Maze Challenge.
It comes down to that diversification where not every farmer is going to be doing, you know, any one of these things, but the ones who want to, the opportunities are there.
To subscribe and find all of Civica Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
AM.
It's going to be a fabulous Friday around the state of Wisconsin. If you're planning on taking a drive, maybe you want to take a look at fall colors. Will there be any out there? I mean, come on, it's been dry. Our weather a little warmer than expected. Kylie Allen's going to try to answer that question. Where are the fall colors headed? That's on the way here on the Midwest Farm Report. Welcome back. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke on this, the 26th day of September. Let me see what I can share with you. Did you know on this day back in 1949, they broke ground on the Hollywood sign in Hollywood, Los Angeles? Now, before that, there'd been a sign that said Hollywoodland, but they tore that down and started to construct what we know as the Hollywood sign on this day back in 1949. Some happy birthdays today. Actress Linda Hamilton is 69, and fantastic tennis star and fashionista Serena Williams. She turns 44 today, and now you know. Well, we want to continue to keep the emphasis on those farm families that have been dedicated to Wisconsin agriculture for generations. This morning, Stephanie Hoff joins us with a sesquicentennial farm story that takes us to Polk County.
We're heading to Polk County, Wisconsin to meet Jill Armstrong of Armstrong Farms in Cushing. This sesquicentennial farm has been in the family for more than 150 years, and Jill is making sure that the legacy continues. She's leading the farm into a new chapter. Once a traditional dairy operation, Armstrong Farms has diversified into elderberries, an innovative step that's helping secure the farm's future for the next generation.
Our ancestors came here and chose the barrens up in Polk County, and then they ended up moving to Cushing.
What's the barrens? Why were they attracted to that?
It was
some fertile ground.
It was at the time fertile ground, but it turned to, it got really dry and drought, and there was no, all the crops failed, and so they moved, it would be east, maybe 10, 20 miles to more fertile ground.
So tell me, how did the early years start out for that first ancestor after he cleared the land and got going? What did the farm look like? What did he grow? What did he raise?
They raised wheat, dairy cattle. It's progressed now to crop farm and beef.
Well, how did it progress? Can you walk me through how the farm changed hands to get to you, the fourth generation?
So it always traveled to a son. So grandfather, great-grandfather, my father. Then my parents didn't have any sons, so then it transferred to me, the daughter, and my husband, and so my twin sister.
The first daughter to get the farm.
Yes, yes, lucky me.
Over those years, how did the farm change? When did dairy shift to beef?
It was dairy.
Until like 1982. Then it switched to beef in the 80s. And then when my father passed away, we mostly went to cropping. Now we're diversifying into some specialty crops like elderberry.
Jill, do you remember any farm stories maybe passed down about what early life was like living on the farm, maybe pre-electricity, pre-plumbing, during wars and the Great Depression?
Well, we do live on a hill, so they did walk uphill everywhere they went. There was a tornado that came through and took out the dairy barn. Really, they had it rough compared to us.
Farmhouse is still, that's what Josh is living in, and it still has issues where you can go in the basement and see the log timbers and everything. We're having issues with the plumbing right now because it was built, you know, 100 years ago.
So that house is one of the original buildings still left on the property?
And the dairy barn. And the dairy barn, the wood came from the barrens from the Nevers Dam. So it has a lot of history in the barn, too.
What's in those buildings today? You mentioned the fifth generation is living in the house. Are you still using the barn?
The barn is going to be hosting a wedding coming up. Otherwise, it sits empty.
We have one shed. We call it the antique shed because it's got all of the memorabilia from the past generations in it. What used to be the machine shed, which is, in retrospect, very small, is now a hay shed because we put up a new pole barn to house the machinery.
Give me a sense of what's in this antique shed. What sorts
Alice
of memorabilia?
Chalmers. That's why Alice we've got Chalmers. The Ellers Chalmers shirts.
Yeah. Alice Chalmers.
Mm-hmm. Our family was big in the Ellis Chalmers.
Well, your uncle came to, he worked in Milwaukee, right?
Right.
Yeah, he worked for Ellis Chalmers, so he would get like a tractor or something and he would send it up to his brother Ken, which is her father, and he would get all Ellis equipment from his brother.
Not faulty, I hope.
No, it was top of the line.
Not the rejects coming off the line. Yeah, that's good. That's good. All right, so today, beef and crops. What are you hoping for the future of the farm? Let's say with the next couple of generations here.
We hope that, I guess, that the beef farm, the beef cattle grow and to diversify our crops more.
The elderberries turned out to be, it's relatively small yet, but it turns out to be the most profitable acres that the farm has is raising the elderberries. We've got 7 acres of elderberries, and it that takes quite a bit of labor. So,
what do you do with the elderberries?
We make syrup and jellies and lollipops and sell dried berries and tea. And Josh and Whitney sell most of the product at the farmers markets. And it's mainly used for medicinal purposes. It, like you can go and it's antiviral, and so it really sold well over COVID years for keeping yourself healthy.
Jill Armstrong and her family, along with us from Armstrong Farms in Polk County. They are a sesquicentennial farm this year. We're bringing these stories to you courtesy of Compeer Financial. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Next on our Corn Hall of Fame tour, Pioneer brand PowerCore and List Corn.
Ooh, look at all the trophies.
Yes, PowerCore and List beats competitors with a 7.7 bushel per acre yield advantage. Three distinct modes of pest control action and unsurpassed herbicide flexibility mean above ground pests and weeds can't win.
But what if they try?
They wouldn't dare.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/powerup.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
You may know Rural Mutual Insurance as the number one farm insurer, but did you know they also offer competitive home, auto, business, and life insurance? They make it convenient to bundle your insurance while saving you time and money. Visit ruralmutual.com to learn more.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
The road to Madison leads to the World Dairy Expo. Follow along with Midwest Farm Report's special coverage of the show on our social media, website, and a special podcast. Join Pam, Stephanie, Ben, and Kylie as they tell the stories of World Dairy Expo from September 29th through October 3rd. Learn more at MidwestFarmReport.com.
The Midwest Farm Report's World Dairy Expo coverage kicks off on Tuesday, September 30th with Boehringer Ingelheim. Join Pam in booth EH2906 through 2908. Boehringer Ingelheim is a leader in cattle vaccines, reproductive, and treatment options. Be sure to visit BIAnimalHealth.com to learn more.
Well, the wild birds continue to migrate over Wisconsin, headed to their southern homes, and now our first case of high path avian influenza detected by the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection in a commercial poultry flock in Jefferson County. Now, one of the goals is to keep high path avian influenza out of the state, not only for birds, but also for dairy cattle. And as we welcome in thousands of animals from across the United States and Canada to World Dairy Expo, keeping an eye on testing procedures critical. Chelsea Holschbach is a veterinarian at the School of Veterinary Medicine in Madison. She's on hand at World Dairy Expo testing those cattle that are coming in to make sure we're protecting ourselves against that biosecurity risk.
So when every trailer arrives, we go ahead and assess their certificate of veterinary inspection that's been issued by their primary care vet from their state of origin. For any lactating cow, we also will be evaluating to make sure they have a negative bird flu or avian influenza test. We'll then visually inspect each animal as it comes off the trailer for any evidence of contagious infectious disease. So things like ringworm, warts, are kind of the main, skin diseases that we'll be looking for that can be contagious between animals.
Chelsea Holschbach, one of the veterinarians helping to inspect every animal that's coming into the Alliant Energy Center grounds for World Dairy Expo. They'll continue to welcome those animals in right on through Saturday. Markets this morning in Chicago, not real welcoming. In overnight trade, right now, December corn's unchanged, 425. November soybeans unchanged at 1012. July, new crop wheat down a penny and a half at 565. The barrel cheese yesterday was unchanged in Chicago at 164 and a half. 40-pound block cheese dropped a quarter of a cent, 163 and three quarters, while AA butter gained 2 cents, up to $1.64 per pound. The October Class 3 milk that goes into cheese down 25 cents this morning at 1679, but November cheese milk up 3 at 1621 a hundredweight. On the way next, fall colors. How's Wisconsin's weather lining up those fall colors? Kylie Allen's got that story on the way.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Maine voters decide November 4th whether adding more ID and mail-in voting restrictions for most voters justifies preventing almost non-existent voter fraud. Question 1 tightens voter ID requirements and adds hurdles for mail-in voters, including the elderly and disabled, despite only 2 voter fraud convictions since 1982. About half of Maine's over 842,000 2024 voters used a mail-in ballot, and over 16,000 subscribed to an ongoing absentee voter list, according to the state's September 2025 figures. If approved, Question 1 would eliminate the absentee list and prohibit requesting an absentee application by phone. It also prohibits third parties from delivering absentee ballot applications, including family members, and limits drop boxes. Maine's population is the oldest in the U.S., with 21.8% of residents over 65. Question 1 also narrows Maine's voter ID options, eliminating student IDs, tribal IDs, and other currently acceptable documents, despite no evidence of abuse. At almost 75%, Maine consistently has one of the highest voter turnouts in the country, and the Heritage Foundation's own figures show just 2 convictions for voter fraud in over 40 years. We have the text of Question 1 at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Friday, we'll have former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel on to talk about the effort to get trumped up charges against former FBI Director Jim Comey.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Brad Hutnick, a forest ecologist and silvicologist, says that early color is indicating a beautiful fall is coming our way. Thanks to cool conditions, the coloring hasn't been accelerated, and he expects will be coming quickly in the next week or two.
I think it's going to be really lovely. I think we had, in certain parts of the state, we had a good wet year. Other parts were a little bit drier, but overall, I think it was a great growing conditions were really fairly decent for trees. So I think it's going to be a really lovely year for color.
So you've talked a lot about the weather. What kind of effect does that have on what we see in the fall color?
Well, it can have some subtle impacts on it. If you were, and we, you know, think about drought, right? So we haven't been in drought. But if we think about, we can kind of a scale from dry to wet. And so if you were in a drought, you might have more muted colors. The leaves are producing less sugars. So there, it wouldn't be as good, but a wet growing season would give you really bright, vivid reds, purples in the leaves. And I think that's, that would be one of the things we would see. It could impact the duration of the display. So in a drought, you know, sometimes the trees might shut down early. The leaves would drop quickly. But if we've had adequate moisture and everything else, they'll stay on a lot longer and kind of linger a little bit. Mild frost-free nights, you know, so we haven't had too much. And I don't think we've had, I haven't been aware of any that's been like killing frost at all. But mild nights can extend our display. But then once we get to a hard frost, that's when things kind of change over. So we haven't had that. I don't anticipate seeing that anytime soon.
Hey, I always like it when we can get farther into fall before we see any kind of frost. So
yeah,
I think that's good news. What are some of the other things that you look at when you're predicting what the color will be?
Well, I think, you know, it's going to depend on, if you were thinking about an area and what is our color going to look like. Some of it could be the weather, and that's what we've already talked a little bit about. Some could just be the species that are present in the areas you're looking at as well. So some areas are going to be more or less likely to show you the colors you might be thinking about. So aspen are going to be, you know, if you've been through aspen areas, they're gorgeous, but it's going to be really yellow. And I always appreciate it. I'm a grouse and woodcock hunter, so I really appreciate just seeing those yellow leaves because I know I'm going to be able to see in those stands fairly soon. But it depends. If you're into drier areas, you might get a little more oak mixed into your woods, and then those oaks are going to be, you know, they're kind of waxier leaves. They're not quite as bright, but you can really get some cool, I don't know, dark crimson color, like almost red, real dark red kind of comes through those, and I always think that's a really cool one. When you get into things like sugar maple, though, that's, you know, kind of the king of the fall, right? So there you get into those beautiful yellows and those oranges and things like that. And then if you're really the one I think about and all the time is in some of our wetter areas, you know, there we may not be one of those places that you go frequently, right? And we get into think about tamarack swamps, but tamaracks are one of our deciduous conifers, so they'll lose their needles in the fall, and they get that beautiful Aldo Leopold called it a smoky gold color. And that I think is really special too. So I think wherever you are, you can find these things, but a lot of things come into, it depends on species composition and weather is really going to tell you what you're going to see in a particular area.
Well, tell me, if you had to paint your perfect pictures, what species would you have in your forest?
I don't know that I could pick a favorite because I love them all. One of my previous bosses had a quote and I loved it. He said, white pine, red pine, white pine, lupine, we love them all. And so I think, I really like, sugar maples. I think they're the classic. But I do appreciate things like they're a little more muted. So, I live in southern Wisconsin, so that the muted colors of the oaks mixed with the maples, I think is really beautiful. And I mentioned the last one, the tamaracks, those are the ones that always, when I see the tamarack, when I'm out hunting in the fall or something else, I really appreciate that because I know not as many people appreciate that one.
Well, hey, I'll maybe have you do some myth busting next. I read on the internet that what our fall color is can help predict what kind of winter we will have. Is there any truth to that?
Yeah, I'd love to lie and say there is some truth to it, but no, there's no truth to that. The leaves are going to be just a record of, they're going to basically show us what the growing conditions were like, what the trees are like going into the fall, but fall isn't usually dictated, or winter isn't usually dictated by summer conditions or growing season conditions.
Well, shoot, I thought you were going to sit there and be able to tell me we're going to have a super mild winter.
Yeah, and I'd love to say that the woolly bear caterpillars will tell you, how long the winter is going to be too, but some things just can't be.
You can't predict Mother Nature now, can you?
No.
That's Brad Hutnick. He's a DNR forest ecologist and silviculturist. He says that the best time for forage management is any time. If you plan on introducing new trees, start planning now so you can plant them in the spring. He recommends considering both the ecology of your property as well as your aesthetic preferences. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Kylie Allen.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on 540 WAUK. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize.
$200 cash and gold jewelry.
And be entered to win our grand prize.
Two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota.
Download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. Complete rules at civicmedia.us. Sponsored in part by Pickleball Kingdom, a half mile north of Silver Spring off Pilgrim, Menominee Falls.
Opening up about rural America's mental health problem today on Farm to Fork. 4 months ago, I began airing a message about the possibility that the dozen regional centers for agricultural safety and health were at risk of closing because of funding cuts. I've now learned that those funds will not be shut off and that the centers may continue operating. One center representative said, quote, "We are convinced that media visibility and support help turn the tide." So, let's pick up where I left off with our 2025 Farm Safety and Health campaign. Farmers are used to handling crop protection chemicals, livestock insecticides, and medications on a regular basis. Each product has information on safe handling. Make sure you and everyone else using these products knows and follows the directions for proper handling. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. Rural Minds is a nonprofit that serves as the informed voice for mental health in rural America. It was started by Jeff Winton, an upstate New York dairy farmer.
People in rural America don't necessarily consider mental illness to be an illness. Now, we all know it's an illness, but all too often, people consider it to be a character flaw or a personality weakness. I mean, those of you who grew up on a farm like I did, you know, we're taught from the time we're young kids to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, to not talk about our issues, to not make other people uncomfortable with what we might be suffering from. And as a result, we have this growing epidemic in rural America.
Winton took part in a recent Farm Foundation webinar. And while he's encouraged by some of the trends surrounding mental illness in rural communities, he still worries about the next generation.
These are the future of agriculture. Our young people are the ones who will be raising our food and our fiber in the next generation. And so if we don't do something about this before it's too late, we will be in bigger trouble than we are right now in rural America.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Darrell Anderson.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Fresh off her announcement that she's running for governor, we have State Representative Francesca Hong. Hear what she has to say.
Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Michigan's Supreme Court will hear a challenge against the Line 5 pipeline, the same oil pipeline Canadian oil giant Enbridge is pushing to reroute across northern Wisconsin. Opponents argue the Michigan Public Service Commission broke state laws when it approved the company's plan to drill an oil tunnel under the Straits of Mackinac. A new report from the Alliance for the Great Lakes and Clean Wisconsin shows nitrate pollution is taking a toll in our state. Thousands of families are paying higher costs to access safe drinking water and facing serious health risks because of nitrate pollution from fertilizer and manure. In 2022, farmers likely applied 16 million pounds of excess fertilizer beyond what crops needed. Right now on the Defender podcast, what do data centers mean for our water, land, energy bills, and why is it so hard to find out? An in-depth conversation on the secrets of data centers. Listen at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you know one out of five adults worry about their mental health? It's Suicide Prevention Month, and talking saves lives. Call 988 anytime for support. A message from the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. Former FBI Director James Comey says bring on the trial after he was indicted on two federal counts at the urging of President Trump. Loyola Law's Lori Levinson.
It's not a surprise that they were able to get the indictment against James Comey, but there's a long way to go before getting a conviction.
The statute of limitations in the case was set to expire next week. Get ready to pay more for another batch of imports. CBS's Jesse Mitchell.
President Trump says his administration will impose new tariffs on a range of items, including pharmaceuticals, furniture, and heavy trucks made outside the U.S.
Irish hip-hop star Mo Cara with the group Kneecap scored a victory at court in the UK this morning. CBS's Vicky Barker is there.
The judge threw out the terror-related charge against him for technical reasons. His alleged crime, waving a flag of the banned terror group Hezbollah at a London gig.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.